It's so good to be here, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're so grateful to God for just opening up this venue. It's so exciting to just see the empty seats next to people, seats where people can come and get to know Jesus.
Amen. Come on.
Just think about this place where you can't. You've got lots of people who have come here and found themselves knowing Jesus. It's so exciting to be here. And thinking of a church of 200 that grows, encourages, and plants other churches. But we're just struggling in our current venue, the size of it. Not because of people weren't coming, but because of the size. So it's really good to just be here and to be thinking, this is what God's got for us, isn't it? Isn't that exciting, Trinity? We're in the middle of a Transform series. Actually, we're towards the end of a series. The Transform series is looking at the way that God changes us. He takes and he changes us. The verse in Romans 12, verse 2 says that we should not be conformed to the pattern by the renewing of our minds. So far, we've talked about spiritual health, physical health, mental, relational health. Today, we're going to look at financial, and then next week is the last one, and we're going to be looking at vocational health. Has everyone been enjoying your groups?
Yeah.
I found them really good. I speak on finances. I chose the topic to speak on money. I wanted to talk on it. The reason why was I grapple with it. I want to make sure that I am not dominated by money, but actually I am managing money well that God is giving me. Again, I think sometimes you can just go through life and you can kind of just spend and do and be. And actually, I think it's sometimes just back. And the passage that we're looking at today is one of those passages that I wish I never had to preach on. Because I didn't really understand it before this week. I'll be completely honest. I didn't get it. I was like, really, Jesus? Is that what you're... So let's go. This is Luke 16, and I'm going to read it from the NLT. Jesus told his disciples this story. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day came that the manager was... So the employer called him in and he said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order. You are... Sheesh. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I have the strength to dig ditches. I'm too proud to beg. Isn't that honest? I know what I'll do. I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. So he invited each person who owed the money to come to discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe gallons of oil. So the manager told him, take your bill quickly and change it to 400 gallons. I owe my employer, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat. Here, said the manager, take this bill and change it to 800. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. But it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, you'll home. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest, it won't be abilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other one. You will be devoured and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The Pharisees who did that him. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we speak about money, that you'd pray that ending of the stories that you told. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be speaking deeply to us today, Lord. Precious name, Jesus. Amen. So this is a story, and often parables are told where the person in charge, the boss is God, and the manager or the people on earth are the people. And in this parable that Jesus is telling, he seems to be saying that you can do unrighteous things as if it's you. That's what it seems to say. It seems to say, actually, even if you're stealing from your boss and you're robbing, is not what it's saying. Okay. Rats. Oh. Rats. There you go. That's steal from your... But verse 10 would show that this is not what Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus is, in verse 10, if you're dishonest, you won't be trusted. And actually, it leads to the man getting sacked. But he does congratulate the man for shrewdness. So the thing that Jesus is saying that is good about this person is the shrewdness they did with. Shrewdness is being wise enough to take advantage of situations in front of you and having good judgment in situations. God wants us to be shrewd with our money, not to be unrighteous. Why did he tell it about this? He could have told a story to it was Pharisees who were listening, and the Pharisees were quite, they thought very highly of themselves. They thought they were good. They thought they were great. They thought they'd achieved a lot. And so Jesus was telling this story to kind of challenge them. They would have thought, actually, I cannot learn anything from that unrighteous fool. Where Jesus was like, no, you can learn someone that you encounter. And that's something that I think we, just as before we get really into the text and everyone that we encounter. I know that we don't want to be conformed to the pattern of the world and we want to by them, but that doesn't mean that God hasn't put gifts in people that we can learn from. Even if we don't necessarily know everything about them, even if we don't necessarily agree with all things, we can learn from all people. And we're in a place of humility, actually. God puts us around people and we can learn, especially when it comes to money, actually. I can be at work and I can learn something about money and go, oh, actually, that's really helpful. We can learn from all kinds of sorts of people. Be shrewd with your money. So the first thing that I want to say about this parable, that we can learn about our money practically, God thing. We are his managers. We are not in ownership of anything that we have. Everything that we have belongs to God. Yeah. That's the first thing that we... God is in charge and God owns all things. He trusts us with the things. He puts trust in us with the things and the possessions that we have. In Genesis, God created the world and he created mankind. And he said to man, "We're all things. Rule over all things." He puts stewardship in our hearts. This is where we need to get our value from. We need to get our value from the fact that God has called us his managers and his stewards. How amazing is it that God put that trust upon us? Whatever he has given us, whether it be large or small, God has trusted us with it. And that's where we get our value from. You don't get your value from whether you have a lot of money or whether you have a little bit. It doesn't define you. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor doesn't define how valuable you are. How valuable you are is defined by the fact that God created you, Jesus died for you, and the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you. Every single one of us. That's where you get your value from. You cannot get your value from something that can be taken away. The second thing is that if he is the owner of all things, and we can ask for more, we can ask for his provision. Go to my and ask for more. I know that I can go to the boss, the chain than me, and ask him to provide. He doesn't always say yes, I can assure you, but I can do it. We can go to God. God revealed himself in Genesis where Abraham is sacrificing Isaac or called to sacrifice Isaac. And then God brings a ram in just at the right time. Abraham builds an altar and he says, "You really are Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me." And he can provide for us. A big question at this point to me is, are we worshipped in this place, or are we worshipping mammon or money? It's a good question. And I think this can affect you whether you're rich or poor. We worship money, and all they want is more and more money. I've met rich people who aren't in that place, wisely. But I've also met lots of poor people who trust money provision to them. If only I had this, if only I had that, if only this was happening. Only. How can we tell if we are worshipping money or not? There's four really wonderful questions which come up. How do I know? So where is your love? Where is your affection? The money that you have? About the desire to get more money? What are you living for? Oh, I'm going to get this new job because then I'm going to get this higher salary, then I can do this, then I can have more free. Where do you find your security? Oh, my bank balance, £100 in it. Tricky. Oh, I'm going to lose. Then you panic and get anxious and worried and stressed. And where do you get your satisfaction from? What brings you the most satisfaction in life? Questions that we can grapple with as time goes on. And sometimes I think we swing some ways and swing the other ways. And some of they're not always bad things. Actually, fear is an emotion that God has put inside of us, which we can respond to. We respond to that fear. But do you love your possessions more than you love God? Do you love what you're earning? Do you love what you're doing? Do you love who you are? Do you love your status because of your money? Or to that status so that you would have that money and so that you'd be in that position? You can provide all things, or are you worshipping the money that can run out? And this isn't just about money, actually. It relates. And we shouldn't put our trust in anything that can dissipate. Anything that can disappear. So our relationships might disappear. Our friendships, our money might go. And you see, if we put our trust in those things, then if they do go, then it ruins us. Whereas actually, loving God first, and helpful. That's where you can be in a place where you can worship God. Trust God first in all of your things. Live your life for the one who will never disappear. Live your life for the God who will never let you go. Live your life to worship him. And when I talk about worship, I'm talking about serving in many ways. The verses in Romans 12 at the beginning are talking about serving, and that is your form of worship. So the question after this is full of questions, isn't it? It's full of questions. And I think they're questions that we can all reflect on. The next question that I have this parable is, are you faithful and faith-filled with your money? Money is a trust to us from the God of all gods. And then he calls us to be faithful to him with that money that he gives to us. To worship him, he gives us. Verse 10 talks about this. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Money is one of those areas that I think tests us as humans. I think it tests us and our response to God. It's a place of testing. And it actually says that actually if you respond well to your money, you will be trusted with more. But not just more money, it actually talks as well. I think there's a reality that actually God gives us money and things for us to trust him with that. And as we're he entrusts us with more of heaven, more spiritual power. As you're faithful to him, he trusts you with that power. Really practically, what does the manager do, or the shrewd manager do, he's not wise. The shrewd manager do. He looks ahead. He looks ahead and he goes, okay, this is what's going to happen. The second thing he does in verse 4, he makes a plan. If you don't plan your budget and manage your money, you will be managed. If you don't manage it and make a plan and budget, I remember when we first got married, we both had nice jobs, good jobs, earning relatively good money. But we always felt like money was just slipping through our fingers, disappearing, going. And then we did a budget in place. And guess what? We were quite well off. When I was first married, I've got kids now. No, I'm joking. Yeah, that was a joke. I think actually, if we're not in control, if we're not making a plan, if we're not looking ahead, and then the last does is he takes action. So he lives by the plan that he talked about. Yeah. It's quite easy to make and then go down to McDonald's and spend it all. And then think, no? This is a weakness of mine. It's a personal thing. Sorry for the advertising. Burger King is just as nice. Not in KFC is nicer. Okay. Food generally, hallelujah. People, we were talking in an elders meeting about how we want to live in a place where we have a balanced budget for the church. You'll all be thankful for that. But at the same time, on the back of that, making plans, we also, the next step, which was, well, how do we have a faith-filled budget as well?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that actually we are faithful to God with the money that he provides? We are faith-filled in the fact that he's calling us to more. Yeah. With our money. Are you listening to God's voice and direction? Making steps in that way as well? Are you willing to trust him in the next to make? And this comes back to the worship and the trust thing. God is calling you to something. He says he will provide if you make those steps. Sometimes those steps are a bit scary. But if it's God's plan and will for your life, then he is the provider. I think there's grace in the midst of that. There's a story of Elijah running and he's up the mountain and then God comes and meets him in that place. Elijah has not done what God is going to tell him to do at that point, but he meets him in a moment of grace. There's so much grace in God, far more than we can ask or know or imagine. And Elijah says, actually, I'm really lonely in this place. I'm really isolated. And so what does he do? When Elijah comes, that's when he meets Elisha, who will not leave his side for the next 12 years. So there's grace in them. If you've made steps where you think, oh, I've not listened to God's voice, I've gone away from it because I'm trusting, there's grace to transform and change in that place. And then I think the final question that this brings about, and the whole crux of the whole story. Are you living and spending and investing with eternity in mind? Are you being generous to what God is doing? It says here, decisions to have friends themselves. You should make good decisions so that you're welcome to an eternity home. You're welcomed by the people that you've decided to spend your money so that they could come to know Jesus, so that they could experience the kingdom of God. I used to be thinking, actually, how is this budget going to help other people come to know Jesus? How is this budget going to bring us the way that I spend my money, an investment for all eternity? To be with God. In all, oh, it's going to be so good. Heaven is so good. But you know what? When I get there, I want to be meeting people who are impacted by the fact that I've spent my money in a certain way. That I have given my money to church. Why? Because we want to see salvation come.
Amen.
That I have given my money to missionaries in Cambodia. Because I'll go to heaven and I will meet some Cambodians who've come to know Jesus because of the way I am. That I'm giving to people in Munich and people in Munich who I'll never meet or know. And then your money in this to know Jesus. That's so exciting. That I want my money eternal perspective. I want my budget to be planning for eternity. I want to be sacrificing now for the sake of other people so that they can come to know Jesus. I want to be thinking, actually, church, okay, so we've spent some of our money building this. We've all done that. I might die a few longer. And then 50 years later, someone might come into heaven and go, "Oh, you put your money in." And so after I die, I want to know Jesus because of what we've done on this earth and how we've spent our money. Such an exciting thing. So the question is, when you're planning your budget, are you faithful to what God is saying to you, what God is giving to you? Are you planning? And are you being with the next steps? Are you trusting him as your provider? Are you trusting that he has a great and amazing all of, and are you spending your money to that effect? I think there's some culture that talks about money in a big, big way. That money is the heart and the core. And in London, especially so, because London is quite expensive, right? And so actually making those decisions hard. And I think money can be the center and get a core in our hearts if we're not careful. What I encourage you to do as I come to an end is I want to encourage you to just reflect on these questions. Ask God to be in the midst of what you're praying and thinking. Remember that there's great grace. And remember that he has amazing plans forward for you and for this world. If Bryn wants to come up, I'd love to pray for everyone. If I could ask you to stand. And I'm just gonna pray for more freedom, actually. In the prayer meeting before, about the freedom of God. Isaiah 60 says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Lord God, I thank you that you've into your kingdom, Lord. I thank you that all of us have known a touch of hearing from you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your glory has come upon us, Lord. And I just pray now, I pray for freedom in our hearts, Lord Jesus. I pray that we wouldn't be in the money of this world, but that we would value it and use it, Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have eternity in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we would have eternity in our minds, that we would think of our friends and neighbours, think about how we can spend our money so that they can come to know Jesus. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would provoke us. But I pray, Lord Jesus, your smiling face as we do this journey, Lord. That we'd know that you take great delight and joy in us, Lord Jesus. Your grace. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, your grace over each and every person in this church, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in your power, Lord. Come and bring your kingdom here on earth, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come.